Thank you, George. Thank you. I wanted to let James ask his question or make his comment before Wondrin jumps in. So, James, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, thank you. Very quickly, and I think this mm-hmm. might be already been dealt with and will be dealt with in the future comments from Maxie.
Go ahead.
I wanted to change the question from, you know, who can we light a fire under to what can we do to help? Is there anything we could do to help the situation? And I,
uh-huh.
you know, I don't know if I mean, you know, do we need volunteers in the various offices to help with some of this work that's not done or needs to be done? I know sometimes the general managers don't want volunteers because they have to be trained and it confuses things.
Right.
Is there any suggestions you have for what we as the committee who feel a certain pressure to get things done, you know, we feel the pressure too. You know, so we're saying, well, who's, you know, what can we do? Who can we light a fire under? But rather than that, what could we possibly do?
Yeah,
I think Maxie had brought that up earlier in some communications, and he'll be able to address that in his part as well. So can we hold off on that one until Maxie? Okay, yeah. Wondrin, I was hoping you would have a little presentation there to just give us an idea of how you're doing and what's going on and, you know, how you, what your work is these days for the audit, you know.
For the audit. Okay, so if you don't mind, is it okay if I respond to some of the things that were said earlier just for clarification, or am I not allowed to speak on those things anymore?
You're allowed to. I may interrupt you.
Okay.
But you're allowed
okay.
to.
Okay. I just wanted to respond to George and make clarification. P&O also has a scanner here in the national office, and it has been set up, and I have been trained, and John Alexander have worked with the IT person at Netta. So we're up and ready to go as far as scanning, as far as moving forward. The scanner hasn't taken a big role or a lot off of my desk as it relates to the audit. As far as the audit, I have been removed from receiving all the information from the stations. I am no longer responsible for gathering that information and passing it on to George. Stations have been working directly with George. As respect to national office, between Angie and I, when we receive audit requests, we work together. Being that it's only two of us and not everything, if everyone knows, I don't want to beat the dead horse to death, but we know that files aren't kept properly here, so sometimes it takes a little time to do research and to figure things out. As far as the FSA, I was successful with reaching out to the administrator and getting reports that date back from 2015 to 2019. I have also was able to get all the FSA bank statements to George, as he mentioned before. The only project that P&O is working on right now, outside of what George mentioned about personnel, is the AP reconciliation. And mm-hmm. Angie and I will be focusing on that this week. As you know, we have to first start in Great Plains, and it's like a puzzle. So we have this report, and the report says this is the number that's in the GL, and then it says, well, this is the number that's in the accounts payable module. So for those of you that don't understand or know what has happened with Great Plains, is the way that Great Plains is designed, there's an accounts payable module, if you will. No one was trained on the accounts payable module per station, business managers. So everyone used that accounts payable module differently, and sometimes Great Plains is not as user-friendly. You can't go in and delete if you make a mistake. You either have to reverse it out or know accounting to know how to make the adjusting entry. As it relates to national office, we're off by 70,000. When I went into the report that George provided me, I noticed there were 10 items that said write off. I'm not sure if that came from the auditor or if that came from the CFO. So what Angie and I now have to do is go by line, track each transaction in Great Plains, and then try to find a physical file to verify if these have been paid. So I just wanted to put into respect that sometimes it's not as easy as going to a file and opening a drawer and having a stack of invoices and just scanning them over. There's labor. Right. Like, we have to look at each journal entry, each transaction, each check payment. We have to verify if the check cleared the bank, what month it cleared the bank, what bank statement it's reflected on, so that when we report out and say that these items are errors, these items are areas that need to be cleaned up, we want to be able to say that we research all facets of that step.
Right. Okay, that's very helpful. Okay.
And because of so many turnovers, that hasn't been easy. Like in 2012, you have good records. 14, you have good records. And then within that one fiscal year, there were so many turnovers. So you have one person that entered. I heard that one person didn't know how to post payments to a vendor. So they created 5 vendor IDs for one vendor. So sometimes the payment is posted to another vendor, all because the user didn't know how to merge those vendors or how to find the vendor to post the payment. So a lot of it is cleanup, and I think that between Angie and I, we should be able to have a clear understanding what that $70,000 represents as it relates to national office. That's pretty much it. I think with the transition of working with NEDA, I think someone asked earlier how many people are working on it. When the discussion came up as far as the audit and getting the audit done, it was recommended that NEDA, we use some of the people that's on their team because they have the capacity. So to my understanding, there's at least 3 to 4 people that works with George on the audit. And I think at this moment, it's because the contract with NEDA has changed so many times within this short term that everyone's trying to catch up with what is the scope of services and how we're going to transition that process from it being at my desk versus having a team of people working on it. But I'm looking forward to that moment where I can focus 100% on the audit. Right now, I can't focus 100% on the audit, but I do have Angie, who's part-time, 3 hours a day, like an hour and a half of her time we can use towards the audit. The other hour and a half goes towards just the daily and weekly tasks that we have to take care of as far as banking here in the national office for current transactions.
Right. Great.
Question?
Go ahead, said Carol.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Eileen. Wondering, on Great Plains, are there search functions so that you can, or have you learned or been trained enough on Great Plains so that you're able to, instead of going line by line through things, using search functions of the program?
I've been trained on the accounts payable module. I've also been trained on how to run reports, and I've also had to self-teach myself how to write check payments. In order to do the reconciliation, it's part of the process, and George or the auditor can jump in and chime in, if you will. But in order to figure out if these transactions, if the $70,000 is a true liability or if it's an error, you have to check every transaction. There is no way to search it. Otherwise, George would have been able to do that because George and the NEDA office also have access to Great Plains as well. It's a process that we have to verify. Because none of us was here when it happened, it forces us to have to research every transaction to see if this was a real bill, if the bill was posted to another vendor, if there was a check payment that follows that, and you kind of have to go through line by line.
Thank you, wondering.
No problem.
Okay. Okay. We could move on a little bit. Maxie, I had you next, but I wonder if we want to ask Scott to chime in first.
Yeah, I thought you had
some.
So if he's ready.
Okay.
Eileen, I'm so sorry. This is Wondering. Can I get on the stack at one point? I forgot there was one thing I wanted to respond to. I just looked at my notes that I wasn't able to respond to.
Why don't you just go now? Just go now.
Okay, awesome. So you asked the question, how can we work together? And I know that Max is going to mention this soon. But I think that as soon as we can identify what each station is lacking particularly, I think that we will be able to go to those stations or help those stations with those reports if they're not able to file those reports. But I'll leave that up to Max. I forgot he said he's going to report on that.
Okay. Great. Okay. Scott.
I'll be honest. At this point, I think it might be worthwhile to have Maxie talk about what he wants to talk about, because I think you guys have gotten a good enough sense of, you know, what some of the trials and tribulations of being able to move forward with the audit, what those are. And, I mean, I can recap those from the auditor's perspective, but it might be more productive to hear from Maxie and what plan he has in place and his recommendations. And then I can certainly kind of, you know, buy into that and fold that into my comments.
Okay, if that works for Maxie.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then we
that's
could
fine.
Go there. Okay, that's great, fine. Maxie. Go ahead then.
So just so the committee knows, we have the pleasure of meeting with the auditors, with the folks from NEDA and the national office and myself every Monday. And we did that today as well. And after, you know, looking at all the dynamics in terms of why things aren't moving as quickly as we'd like and what are the trouble spots and what can we do to rectify it, we came up with a plan. I'll designate it as Plan A, that we think will help us move the audit and keep us on track time-wise. And one of the things we were trying to do is get the PBC list for fiscal year 17 and even 18, moving at least, but fiscal year 17 in particular, completed by the end of this month. And so one of the things that we discussed is the notion of having NETA supply two people who can spend anywhere from 2 to 3 days or a week if necessary. And I think we're leaning towards a 5-day work week to not only tackle the fiscal year 17 PBC list, but also to start working on fiscal year 18. The notion of sending them to LA is so that they can work directly with Barry. And this is important for a couple of reasons. Most of you know that Barry not only does KPFK's books, but for quite a while has been doing BAI and PFWs. And since Nita's in charge of doing the books for those two operations, the notion is that if they can work directly with Barry in person, they can close the loop on KPFK's issues with respect to the audit information and also anything necessary regarding BAI and PFW, because Barry was handling that, they can work on that as well. And so that's the concept that we have. I'm waiting on Anita from NETA to provide me with a budget in terms of the cost dynamic to have that done. But I think we all think that that is probably an expense that's worthwhile if it gets us to where we need to be. And the notion is also that not only will these stations be finalized by the end of the month, but that we would time that out so that all of the reporting for fiscal year 17 is completed by that time and the auditors can then begin their work. That's Plan A. Plan B is a derivative of that plan, which simply states that a second glance at the material that's been forwarded to this date from the different stations in the national office, if we look at it differently, it might give us the notion that NETA has everything they need and can do it remotely. So we're going to look at that as well from a cost-saving standpoint. But the goal is to complete fiscal year 17 by the end of March and get working on fiscal year 18 as well with the presence of folks in L.A. working with Barry. The other thing that was brought up that I should address is the discussion around the NETA transition. I think the scope of services on the latest contract has been distributed to everybody on this committee. If not, I can certainly make that available to Eileen so that she can know and distribute that to everyone who's
yeah,
on the committee.
But I did do that. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah. So the bottom line is the key to that document is that WBAI, WPFW, and the national office are all to be done on by hand, I should say, or directly by NEDA. Unlike the supervising role that they have with KPFA, KPFK, and KPFT. So while they supervise those others, the national office, BAI, and PFW, it's hands-on work. And so when we talk about the transition of NEDA into the work that Wandrin is doing, most of it, some of it has to do with the audit, but a significant amount of that has to do with general financial management work that NEDA has been contracted to do on our behalf. And that includes payroll, HR, the benefits, and a number of other items that are listed in that agreement. What's important is that to this point, ever since I first got here, Wandrin has been the only one in the national office doing those things. And so to make her work more efficient, to alleviate her of the pressure of doing all these different tasks and being judged perhaps inappropriately because we're seeing her on the audit and asking why are things not moving fast there when we're not taking into account that she's got these other tasks to do. So the goal is to have NEDA take over those other areas that Wandrin's been doing. They are contracted to do so. We're waiting on a plan and a timeline. Anita's supposed to be giving me that by the end of the week as to when they will take that over. And so we've been waiting on that, and I think we'll have resolution this week. That's an important step because once done, we will move from them transitioning it on contract to actually doing it from a functional standpoint. It should also be noted that they sent for Wandrin to come to South Carolina so that she could train them on these areas that she has been working on our behalf. Wandrin set up portals for HR, for payroll, and perhaps, and I think benefits as well. Maybe I'm wrong on that one, but she set up portals so that our employees could do and manage their benefits, their payroll, and some of the HR matters online, independent, versus having to call someone at the national office or at their station. So I wanted to put that out there for consumption by the committee. The last, I think there was one more thing I was asked to talk about, and that is how can committee members assist, help with the process? And I would say it this way. If you are an accountant, you are professionally trained. If you have financial management skills, if you are familiar with Mass 500 or is it 500 or 5,000, but if you're familiar with that software or Great Plains, then yes, you could be of great assistance. Perhaps working at the local station level with the business managers to help them find the materials, work on getting some of the reports done that have been requested by NEDA. To satisfy the audit process, the information gathering process. What I would ask you not to do is call the third-party vendors. We've had a big problem with this with board members stepping outside of the relationships we've previously established and making calls. I get that they've got good intention, but the bottom line is we've had third-party vendors across all different areas complain about the fact that they're getting calls from board members and other members of the Pacifica family that make it confusing for them as to which directions to follow. So I don't want you to do that. What I do certainly want you to consider doing if you have the skill sets and the accounting background is see how you can help the local business manager. So that would be my suggestion as to ways that you can assist.
James,
that's it.
James, for a question?
James, go ahead.
Yeah, Maxie, there's long been proposals bouncing around for people to create carts to go on the air to request, to seek volunteers, retired people, other people that are trained, as you just mentioned. Is that worthwhile? Is that something that's considered?
I've never, that's not something I'm familiar with. So that's new to me, and so I probably shouldn't respond to it other than to say it sounds good. My only concern would be availing our financial records to someone in the public in that way. And maybe that's not something I should be concerned with, but since we're a public company, but at the same time, that's the only concern I would have. But otherwise, I think it's fine. It's not something I'm familiar with, though.
Well, we have another question.
Melina, go ahead.
Maxie, could you respond or comment on Wandrin's comments about the fact that she no longer is authorized to pass on information directly to, I believe it's she said to the auditors, that the local station management is in charge of doing that. Could you clarify that situation? So the lines of communication, so that we as the board no longer, let's say, make suggestions that are impertinent, so that we understand what the official lines of communications are between the P&O and the auditing firm, between NETA and the local local station management, and between NETA and the national office.
Yeah, I actually think Wandrin's probably in a better position to articulate that than me, and the only reason I say that is because that arrangement was made, I believe, before I came here. And it was something to do with when NETA first got involved, there was a request by them for Wandrin not to directly deal with the auditors. I don't know, that's obviously not the case in the sense that we're on a conference call every week. But I think it's part of this whole notion of streamlining communication. But again, I'd yield to Wandrin on that because I think she knows the history of that better than I do.
Yes. So to clarify what I meant by that, like Maxie said in the beginning, because NETA was coming on, I had previously worked on Audit 15 and 16. I offered to help organize the files that were coming from the stations. And I was sort of, if you will, the hub to receive all that information. But what happened in that process is that it was really overwhelming getting all the emails and then also managing everything that I was managing here at the office. So there was a conversation that things weren't being forwarded to George or and at that time, I didn't have access where I could send emails directly to the CPA. So what happened is that during that time, I went through all my emails. I organized it by station, and I forwarded both to the auditor and to George. I can still upload stuff directly to the auditors. I can still speak directly to the auditors. But as far as the responsibility of gathering the information from the stations directly, that's not my responsibility anymore. That is George's responsibility. However, recently the auditors have reached out to business managers and have started asking them directly for information. I think there's two stations based on the PBC list that haven't responded to that email. So I think like we're all trying to get the audit done and we're trying every way possible. So at this moment, I'm no longer responsible for communicating to the stations what they need, and I'm no longer responsible of getting the information and giving it to the auditors. It kind of all goes to George and the NETA team, and then we both have the authority to upload to the auditor's portal.
Thank you so much. That's very helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem.
I had a question, Eileen, may I? Hello? Eileen?
Sorry, I was on mute there for a minute. Yeah, go ahead, Carol. Sorry.
Wandrin, you said two stations have not replied, I guess, to something that you characterized as something from Scott. Which stations were those?
If someone has the PBC list, if I want to say it was Jerry Berthold. I'm just going off of memory, but it's on that last page. Scott, if you know by the PBC list, I can pull it up. I have so many documents open right now, but I can go to that list. And Eileen, you also have a copy of it. It's listed on the tab towards the end. Let me see.
I think it may have to do with the electronic confirmation process. Those guys are both signers for some bank accounts, and the way the process works, we have their email addresses, and we submit it into this confirmation.com, and they submit emails basically to the check signers to authorize the confirmation process. And I think that, at least last that I was aware of, Jerry and Berthold, I think, had not maybe responded to that email that they got from the confirmation.com. I don't know if it went to their spam email, or maybe they're busy, or maybe they weren't sure what to do with it, but I think that's where we are with that as far
Thanks.
As those two guys are concerned.
Thank you very much.
This is Grace for the stack.
Grace, go ahead.
You know, they're looking through the requests for information that are still outstanding. There are quite a number of questions that have to do with information that board members, both national board members and local board members, may have answers to that staff at the stations don't. So, for instance, in the fluctuations, there are a couple of questions. How come the revenue was this much in this year and not as much in the next year? And that could have been because a fund drive was delayed. Now, a board member might know at that time what fund drive was delayed, what wasn't. There are quite a number of questions. There's another question in there about any board members who had transactions that should be known about, financial transactions, and the board knows the answer to those questions. So I think I saw quite a number of questions that board members may have access to the answers to, for the to give the answers to those that are not easily accessible by the staff, even the or by NIDA or by Wondren. So I think it's would be helpful for board members who have that information to make it accessible to the auditor, to George, and to Wondren.
I'm
for
back
example,
on the line, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, for
okay,
example, I was able to unearth some information about some people who were on a pension list that the pension plan administrator wanted information about that was not accessible to Wondren or to the people at the station because it was a prior information. These people were employees a number of years ago, and nobody was familiar with them, but I had the ability to call people and find out that information. So I think that in this way, board members, it's not just one or two questions. There were quite a few questions where board members, either at the local level or the national level, could have useful information for this audit. So I think that that information should somehow be accepted by the auditor, by NIDA, by Wondren, whoever could benefit from it. Because it could speed up the process.
Okay. Just to clarify before I call on Maxie, are you talking about the PBC list?
Yes,
the one-page list, or yeah, okay, great, thank you.
I'm
go
talking
ahead, Mac,
about the other list as well. I saw some other things.
Oh, both files. Okay.
Yeah, I
okay.
think what Grace mentioned. Was it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, I think what Grace mentioned is great and useful. I just ask that if board members have information that they think is worth sharing, that they share that with myself or Wondren, and we can, of course, forward it to the folks at NEPA so that they can do what they need to do with it. I just, again, need to make it clear, we've been asked to limit the number of people that contact the vendors, and this is not the only case where that's the case. It is not the first time, and while it's deeply respected and appreciated when board members have information they can share, respecting the process would be greatly appreciated.
My question here would be, how do we determine which questions and who's going to look over the documents and pull those out, and where can board members send their information, I guess? It just feels a little bit like somebody needs to be in charge of it, or at least to organize things.
Well, I think, if I may, I think what Grace is referring to is the fact that she and perhaps other members of the committee or the board are aware mm-hmm. of this. They have access to them and believe that there's information that they can provide pertinent to what's on those lists. I certainly welcome
right.
that. It's all hands on deck, if you will. All I'm asking is that if you've got that kind of information, share it with myself or Wandering, and we can forward it directly to George and or the auditors for their use. As Wandering stated a minute ago, she has the ability to forward and upload material directly to the auditors in the same way that George does. So whether you go through myself or Wandering, it'll get to where it needs to go. So I appreciate the fact that some of you can do that. That's great.
Okay, do people think we should?
Can I tell you?
Okay,
we're at 1 hour and 15 minutes, just for FYI.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to ask if we should be making any motions with all these things that have come up. You know, motion to have members of the audit committee and or others review these items and provide information if they have it. I'm not very good at writing up motions, especially on the fly. But do people think we should formalize some of this in motions?
No.
No? More work than we need?
Eileen, this
well,
is
we'll
Grace.
Just we'll be making action items at the very least. Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, no, I think Maxie expressed where board members can forward the communication. I think that's adequate.
Okay.
James?
Okay, go ahead, James.
I just wanted to suggest to Grace or whoever might be interested that some way to communicate to board members that's you know, that would be appreciated if people could check those lists, the PBC list and the other source, get them to look at it, you know, somehow make them aware that it would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
The parliamentarian would like
email.
To
yes, Mr. Tatum. I don't think I actually introduced Mr. Tatum, and I meant to at the very beginning of the meeting. I'm so sorry, John. So I'll do that now. Everybody, I asked our parliamentarian, John Tatum, to be on this meeting tonight just because I thought it sounds like it's going to be a long meeting and there's going to be a lot of discussion, and I wanted to make sure that we stayed on track and that our discussions were productive. So, you know, I thought it'd be good to have him with us just in case if we needed that kind of support. So he is here, and now he is asking for the floor, and I would like to give it to him. Thank you. John, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did get to say good evening to a few people at the very beginning of the meeting, but those that came on later, good evening to you. I want to step in right here because as you're saying, Eileen, you know, the discussion is good and the ideas are good, but every meeting really moves forward with motions. So I would not like to see a meeting where the production part of it, as you mentioned, what was produced from the meeting, and that is where motions come in. If you adjourn this meeting right now, I would say you just threw around ideas and you had lively discussion, but actually what was produced or what was accomplished, it wouldn't be very much. So motions can solve that problem. Now, I see these ideas and so forth, they can be turned into motions. And I just heard someone say that how can we make the TNB board aware of what we would like for them to help with? So that's a motion right there, because normally there is an audit report at the TNB meetings and it can be transferred there, but it would be even better if the audit committee passed a motion that says that we will ask TNB directors to forward any documentation or information that they have to this committee, the audit committee, so that the audit committee can then, at that point, forward all that information over to the audits. So the motion here would be I, and whoever the I is on this committee, I move that we, audit committee, ask the TNB board of directors to forward any information that they have concerning the topics that you all have discussed tonight, you know, pensions, whatever. Ask them to, and give them a deadline. You always got to give a deadline. You would like to have this information time certain, as they say. So that's my take for now. And thank you, Madam Chair, for giving me the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum. Yes, what do I hear that? Any reactions from the committee members?
This is Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
I would guess that two things that came to mind from that. One is that I don't know if we can share the list of missing things or go through a list and make, you know, things that would be possible that directors mm-hmm. would have, because I don't know if just asking that without them having something to refer to that is needed.
Right.
Is useful. I think, okay, so that's one thing, and it's a question to us to tease out and get help from George and Scott and Wander and et cetera. The other is that I think that we can ask that minutes for the audit committee that are outstanding from, and that minutes from all of the committees. And Scott, I think that you've said different things about this, that maybe not all of the minutes, but although we want, for CPB funds, I think we want all of the minutes from all of the committees, which is different than from the audit. But, I mean, we could put a resolution that said that any secretaries of any committees that we urge by, and Scott, you give us a date, that those minutes be submitted.
Sure. I mean, I think we're probably more interested in the audit committee meeting minutes and the board at the national level. I think we talked in the past about whether we needed things at the individual station level. And I think at this point, as I mentioned, I think as an audit committee and as a board, you guys have been very candid with some of the issues that you guys have been facing. And so I felt like based on that, very clear, candid, open communication that we could probably forego the minutes at the station level. We're at, I guess, to be really honest, if we were doing an audit in a normal timeline, like as in a couple of months after a year end, we typically would ask for board minutes and audit committee meeting minutes through basically the date of our audit report. So in a perfect world, if we were doing this audit in November of 2017, we might be asking for minutes through that date just to give us an idea of anything that might be peripherally going on that might have an impact on the year that we're auditing. Given the fact that we're in March of 2019 and we're talking about doing the 17, the 18, and the 19 audit, I would say just keep a steady stream of minutes coming into us, because regardless of whether whenever we are finishing the 17 audit, we're going to continue to need those minutes for the 18 audit. And then to the extent that we're, you know, in place to do the 19 audit, we'll continue to need those through then. So I may be not answering your question in terms of a hard date stop, but it really is just kind of a continual process.
I think I'll make up a hard date stop anyway. In the motion.
That works.
Okay. I'm working on a motion.
I would say, based on the things people have talked about on this call, I would say for the purposes of the 17 audit, I think if we could just get all minutes through, say, March of 2019, I think we'll be in a good place for that one. And then, obviously, some of that will overlap and be able to dual purpose it for the 18 audit as well.
And are you also interested in finance committee? So you want the PNB, the audit committee, and the finance committee, or just the PNB, the audit committee, and the audit committee audit purposes? I think for CPB we want everything, but...
Yeah, I think for the audit, probably the audit committee for sure, the board meeting, PNB for sure, and then I would say possibly the finance meeting as well.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Let's see. Where are we on this thing? Give me one moment, people. All right. So I think we are actually through the substantive part of our agenda, and Mr. Tatum is recommending we draw some motions, and I think that fits right in with the 3E, which was discussion of status, next steps, and action items. And we've gone over a bunch of those already, you know, along with Maxie's plans and, you know, that strategy he laid out for us. I feel like, I may want to go through my notes and pull out action items because I'm on page 5 or 6 already of notes. And of course we have Julie as our secretary she and I can maybe even work together on that. But it would be also, you know, we'd like to take the advice of Mr. Tatum where it seems most applicable to come up with motions. So Carol, you're coming up with a motion about contacting other directors and board members. Is that right?
I have a motion, I think, for
perfect.
I agree. I'm sorry I poo-pooed the concept of a motion. I think that Mr. Tatum's idea is a good one. I have one. Can I read it? And then I can send it to everybody.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
The audit committee requests that any members who can provide answers to the auditor's PBC list forward this information to Wondren DeSems, operating controller at the national office, and Maxie Jackson, executive director.
Okay.
So is that include the minutes, or am I doing a minute one?
No, that doesn't include the minutes.
Okay.
Although that could include the minutes because that's one of the requirements, isn't it?
But I think that it would
be
good to
motion.
Have a separate motion on the minutes, no?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm working on
that. Is this adequate? I don't think that it would benefit us to confuse the national board by giving them the PBC list and have them sorted out. I think the initiative would have to be from people in this committee to go through the list and then see if they can gather the information from other directors or local board members, so who may have the information because of their historical understanding of what occurred at the various stations. So that's why I limited it to audit committee members.
I'm sorry, you limited it to audit committee members, but also didn't you talk about the PNB?
I said that it's possible that people on the PNB or the local station information, but I don't think that it would make any sense to send that whole list out to everybody. It would create too much confusion. I think the right thing to do is to have members of this committee go through the list and see if they can get find people who have the answers if they don't have them themselves. Does that make sense? The wording is,
yeah,
the audit committee requests that any members who can provide answers to the auditor's PVC list forward this information to Wondering if Sam's operating controller at the national office and Maxie Jackson, ED.
Okay, I have
maybe
a
also
question
to George.
Excuse me a minute. I have a question. First of all, I think the list, the open items list, from what George has told us, that can certainly be updated. So we wouldn't want to ask people for information that we already have. So we may want to try and get that updated. I think the PBC list is less updated, but Scott can confirm that for us either way.
If I can certainly weigh in on that when you're ready for me.
Great. Because I do think that we need to, I wouldn't want to send these lists out to anybody else who hasn't been kind of, you know, steeped in them already. I'd want to tidy them up a bit. So, yes,
so,
Scott, please go ahead.
So just to kind of give a little perspective to some of what everybody has said. So George and his group was working through, I think, some of the asset side of the balance sheet. And I know, I think, in fact, it was kind of literally our last day of scheduled audit work in January that he provided a number of journal entries to kind of clean up some of that asset stuff. In fact, the journal entries were voluminous enough that in terms of the line items related to them and the accounts that they hit, that he basically sent us a new trial balance. And just as to give some perspective for folks on the call, we typically, when we get started in an audit, we ask for a trial balance. We upload the trial balance into our audit software. We calculate materiality. We do planning. We do the fluctuation analysis that you guys are seeing on the open items tab. And we really kind of set the scope of our work based on materiality and that trial balance. So when he provided us with that new trial balance at the end of January, and I think as George mentioned earlier on the call, they're still working through a number of things on the liability side of the balance sheet. And I think he even indicated that they anticipate making additional adjustments to those accounts. We've kind of just put the trial balance on hold because rather than upload it a second time and then have to upload it a third time, we're just kind of waiting until we get to kind of that final answer. This is what we think is our final trial balance, and then we'll upload that trial balance and we will recalculate materiality and adjust our planning accordingly. So from that perspective, I appreciate and I really think the board, probably given their historical perspective, can certainly add a lot of additional insight and information from the fluctuation analysis standpoint. But I think to Eileen's comment, it might be worthwhile to maybe give it a week or so until George and his group have maybe been able to kind of address some of those remaining open items and liabilities. And then assuming give us a new trial balance, we can upload that trial balance and update our fluctuation analysis so that, you know, what you guys are looking at maybe kind of gives a little bit more representational numbers to go with the trend that we're kind of asking you to comment on. So that's kind of, so literally just to recap where we are on the audit side, we're kind of waiting for all these different things that everybody's talked about to kind of come together so that we can kind of reschedule time and really kind of have something to go about auditing. Probably more than you want to know at this point, but I was on the 1 o'clock call with Maxie and Wandrin and George and a few others from NIDA, and, we have reached out to a couple of the stations, following up with internal controls, following up with trying to get confirmations together, trying to you know, just kind of track down some of our follow-up things. One of the things that I kind of mentioned to George and Maxie and Laundren on today's call was, you know, Maxie mentioned sending media representatives to the LA stations. You know, if it helps expedite the process and, you know, we need to kind of go out to the LA station, we certainly can. You know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to go out there unnecessarily. But if there is some value to us going out there to help maybe shortcut what we're asking for, what we need for the accounting records from that station as well as the other station that the accounting is maintained by the LA office, we're certainly willing and able to do that. Where we are right now, and I felt pretty good about this in our 1 o'clock call, is that, and I know that, and I certainly appreciate where Maxie's coming from in terms of timelines, but I need a little bit of lead time just to kind of reschedule my staff because, you know, the team has been redeployed. It's kind of the height of busy season in the public accounting world. And so I probably need about 2 weeks just to kind of, from the time everybody says, hey, we have everything, I need kind of a lead time of 2 weeks to kind of get things scheduled. So one of the things that I'm going to work on this week, we have a scheduling meeting on Thursday, and I'm going to tentatively try to start formulating a time in April as to when I can pull people off of other jobs to kind of reassemble my audit team for the Pacifica audit. So we'll kind of definitely track the progress in terms of what Maxie and Laundren and George are able to do in the next few weeks. And then I guess just finally, I mean, I agree with Maxie. I think some of the problems that it's kind of the perfect storm. You guys have had turnover. You've got, you know, people kind of being asked to do things that they're maybe not trained to do and don't have background to do, and they all have the best intentions. And it's just sort of come to a head here with the audit that we're talking about for 17. So having said all that, I understand it. And, you know, I know everybody's under a lot of pressure. Everybody's under a lot of gun. It's creating a lot of stress. But all I would say is that I kind of completely understand where everybody is. And I do really appreciate the hard work and the effort that George and his team are doing, the hard work and effort that Laundren has been doing, the hard work that Maxie's been doing, and all the business managers and folks at the station. I really think that in most cases where we've kind of struggled to get information, it's just because people have done the best that they knew how to do at the time. And now here we are 2 years later looking and asking for documentation that maybe wasn't just captured and maintained as well as it should have been at the time. But I certainly do appreciate everyone's efforts. And, you know, I feel good after the call that we had today that we at least have sort of a general timeline and a game plan in place. So hopefully the next couple of audit committee calls, we can kind of talk about the progress on where things are with the PVC. And then hopefully when we get into calls in April, we're talking more about, you know, the progress that's being made on the actual audit fieldwork and testing, and talking more about dates. We're going to be finalizing things as well as kind of queuing up the 18 audit as well. So, but I would say as far as the flux analysis on and some of those PVC items, flux analysis, we can probably update a week from now and see where things are with that. And then I'll go back and have my team update some of the things that Laundren and George have been sending through the course of this call. And then we'll recirculate that, say, by Thursday. And then you guys can disseminate that how you see fit in terms of getting everyone's help. But I think the historical perspective, and certainly anybody like Maxie was saying that has an accounting background or a business background, I think, you know, to the extent that they can help, it sounds like that's a good plan.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
Carol for the staff.
Go ahead, Carol.
I think, and I could very well be wrong.
Excuse me one moment.
Okay. Hello? Hello?
I can hear you, Carol.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Eileen.
Yeah, I can hear you.
She said, hold on a minute, so I don't know if coming back. Well, let me just go on. Am I correct, Scott, that what you said meant that right now a particular motion isn't useful, or that we should refer to a list that will be coming and, you know, just alerting people that, or something like that, in terms of Grace's motion?
I think the motion is appropriate. I think you guys can go forward to it. I would just say give us about 3 days to kind of update the PVC list, see where George and his group are with the liability side of the trial balance. That, you know, I think the fluctuation questions that we have in the open items, the numbers may change, but I think the direction of the questions and the trends probably still kind of hold. But I would just say, just to give everybody kind of like the most up-to-date, since, you know, I think Wandrin alluded, there's been a lot of multitasking while this call has been going on. So I've been getting emails from Wandrin and George and vice versa. So I would just say go ahead with the motion, but maybe before anybody kind of executes anything, maybe wait until about Thursday for us to kind of update the PVC list and the open items with what we have received tonight, and then, you know, I can kind of maybe simplify it a little bit so that it's a more focused effort rather than just kind of this blanket open items for the board.
So if we did a motion, that Grace's motion might look like something like we move that we consult
can
with...
Carol, can I interrupt you? Eileen,
please
can
do.
I just read the motion that I have so far?
Sure. I'm sorry I dropped off for a minute because Adriana called and she has been trying to get in and her codes don't work, so I'm sending her a different number. I tried merging her in with me, but that didn't work. Okay, please go ahead.
Okay, what I have is the audit committee requests that any members who can provide answers to the auditor's PBC and open items lists forward this information to Wandrin DeSems, operating controller at the national office, and Maxie Jackson, executive director.
Question.
From the auditor's perspective, I think that's good.
Sorry, was that Maxie? Go. Wait, who went first? I'm sorry, I missed it.
You can
Maxie
have Maxie go first.
Okay.
That wasn't
okay.
Me. That was Scott, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Scott.
I said from the auditor's perspective. That motion sounds good.
Okay.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay, I have a question.
Eileen,
go
can
ahead,
I send
Carol.
It to everybody then?
Wait, Grace.
Let Carol's question.
Why not? Good. Since George is now, Annetta is in charge of the audit, why aren't you including George in sending the stuff to it? Or do you want, or Wandrin, do you want it to go to you and then to George? I understood that you're saying that. George is in charge.
No, it's purely because Netta has asked us to only have myself, Wandrin, or Carol forward directly to them. And so that's why I suggested that anything this committee or the board would have towards this motion be forwarded to myself or Wandrin, and we can make sure that it's either uploaded directly to the
right.
audit.
Right, okay. I just was asking
that's
that. Perfect.
No,
okay.
I'm just giving you a yeah.
Right, got
Wandrin
it.
To the stat, please.
Okay, Wandrin, go ahead.
I just wanted to, I agree with the motion. I think that, like I don't know if it was Grace or Carol, but the PPC list I think is too overwhelming to send to everyone, and I would just see if there's
yeah.
a way that before we send out any list to the PMB or to anybody that we give a chance for George to report out exactly what each station is missing so that we are clear on what we're asking. Because I know even for me, and I'm an accountant and I'm working in this field, that PBC list can be a little overwhelming just for me because there's so many different tabs and there's so many different things going on. But I think that if we get some kind of list that tells us what's outstanding, because some of the things that are outstanding aren't direct lists. It's that the station has turned it in, but the information is incomplete or the report needs more detail and more backup. So I think it will be wise. I just would like to make a suggestion that before we move forward in sending people out to gather things, that that list is defined per station and what exactly is needed, not a general term, if you will.
Thank you, Wondrin. I guess the PBC list is, is George collecting those things, or is that mostly things that need to go directly to Scott, or are they both working on?
I think at this point, quite honestly, anything that's gone to George, or George maybe kind of pre-auditing, so to speak, we get from George. I know that the things that Wondrin has been able to provide, she has either uploaded directly to the portal or in some cases has just forwarded the emails that have been forwarded to her to us as a, you know, a more simplified matter. So those are probably the two folks that we're getting the most stuff from. I'm not getting PBC type requests directly from the stations. It seems that they are being forwarded to either George or to Wondrin first.
Okay. But I do think it would be good to go through and, like, sort of weed out what you already